Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Black Free Thinkers on Blog Talk Radio. And we just thank you all for tuning in today and for joining us on this show. Today is going to be very exciting. We're going to be speaking with 3Thought MC from Florida, and he's going to give us some insight to his new CD and what's happening with him, how he came into this business, and what made him a free thinker and all of that fun stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we'll also be speaking about, is God in the fixing business, with all of this coverage about Tim Tebow and basically the exploitation of his religion. Some of us feel that it's just a tad bit too much, including some of his colleagues in the NFL. So that should be interesting. Our call-in number is 310-982-4273. Again, that's 310-982-4273. Press 1 to speak with the host and with our guest today. And we want to send out a congratulations to Mandisa Thomas, my co-host here. She's in Florida at the Regional Atheist Meeting, and she presented her presentation today. And from what I understand, she did absolutely fantastic. So, you know, we're proud of her. Want to let her know that we're with her, we're thinking of her, and we wish her the absolute best. Her, Felicia, Sharon, and Morgan, you know, safe travel on the way back. And, you know, it was a great trip from what I understand. So, you know what she told me? She had a really good time, and that is fantastic. And so if you all get a chance to see the video, I'm not sure when or if they're going to upload it to YouTube, we definitely will let you all know about that. And, again, this is Black Free Thinkers, and we are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you. And this is where we walk by sight, not faith. And I believe that was the title of her talk as well, Sight, Not Faith, which is absolutely fantastic. We also wanted to let you all know about the Reason Rally. The Reason Rally will be in March of this year. If you go to reasonrally.org, you should find the information. I just posted the link in a chat room, and that is going to be a lot of fun. I've spoken with a lot of people who said that they're going to be there, so they're motivating me to come on out to that Reason Rally as well, so I'm actually looking forward to it. And then also we want to let you all know the African American for Humanism conference is coming up in the fall of next year. So please keep an eye out for that. That information will be posted as it comes along. So you can find that information at centerforinquiry.net/AAH. Again, centerforinquiry.net/AAH. Debbie Goddard is the coordinator of the event, and we are actually really looking forward to that event. It's either going to be the end of April, beginning of May. They're nailing down a specific weekend, and it will be here in Chicago. So definitely, we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys and hearing from you guys and seeing you. You know, it should be fantastic. It should be a great weekend. Also, next year, our first show will be January 8th of next year. No show January 1st, New Year's Day. I decided to pick a day off so I can enjoy myself. But on Sunday, January 8th, 2012, at 1 o'clock, we will have Mr. Donald Wright on our show. He's the author of The Only Prayer I'll Ever Pray Is Let My People Go. And he will be our first guest of the year. Absolutely fantastic. And we will be discussing the Day of Solidarity for Black Nonbelievers. Mr. Wright has proposed that the last Sunday of February be a Day of Solidarity for Black Nonbelievers. And basically the purpose of this event would be basically it's an annual gathering in each city in the United States to promote solidarity amongst blacks in America that choose not to participate or adhere to a lifestyle influenced by religious dogma and irrationality. The gathering will serve to encourage fellowship, a humanistic outlook to assist in eliminating all types of human oppression and exploitation and preservation of the environment. The gathering will take place in each city on the fourth Sunday in February, which is Black History Month, and will continue until religion is no longer a dominant voice of American consciousness, especially in the black community. And so basically, Mr. Wright will be on our show, and we are going to discuss, you know, the Day of Solidarity. I think it's a great idea, and again, it's not basically it's what you make it to be. So if you all decide to get together and go have tea or coffee, there you go. You're showing some fellowship that way, and it's not so much about having a big party or a big celebration. It's more so about us getting together, meeting each other, enjoying each other's company, and just showing some solidarity. And so I think that's a wonderful, fantastic idea. We're really looking forward to next year because we have a lot of good stuff coming up, and we just thank you guys. Hold on, it's unclear. Let's see what I can do about that. Hopefully this is better. Hopefully this is better. You can hear the sound a little bit better. I took my Bluetooth off. But, yeah, next year we'll have the Day of Solidarity, which is the fourth Sunday of February during Black History Month. And, again, the purpose of this gathering is to promote solidarity amongst blacks in America that choose not to participate in religion, religious dogma, and irrationality. And there will be more information about that coming up as time goes along. So, again, you know, we put the information about Reason Rally and about the AAH conference, and I want to thank everyone in the chat room. I want to thank everyone who's listened to us over this past 9 months. It's been 9 months. We're going on a year. So, excellent. I appreciate it. So, without further ado, we are going to bring Mr. Freethought MC on the line. Are you there, Freethought?
Hi, I'm here. How are you, Kim?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Excellent. We thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm basically an avid listener. I haven't really called in that much up until a few months ago, but I definitely like the insight, and you know, I'm definitely glad to be on the show.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we enjoyed you because I remember you called in on another show. And
right.
We just really enjoyed you, and we appreciate it. And, you know, when I listened to your music today, and I can just say, you know, I really enjoyed myself. So, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. You're fantastic. And for all of you out there that do not know, Freethought MC is free thinking or free thought or atheist rapper, and MC stands for Man of Consciousness, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes. I put a little twist on that MC. You know, I do a lot of shows and benefits and concerts at colleges, and people think I'm a typical rapper off the street. My style is just very different. I call it revolution music, or even sometimes evolution music. I definitely go way beyond the norm. Not really as known as much as the other atheist rappers out there, like Graydon Square. I have been on the down low in the last, couple of years, but I think 2012 is definitely going to be a big year for me. I just released my fourth album called The Categorical Imperative Strikes Back, and that could be found on iTunes and everywhere else on the net, I guess.
Excellent. Fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about you. You currently live in Florida. How long have you been there, or were you born there?
I've been in Orlando, the Atlanta area, since 2006. I'm originally from upstate New York, Hudson Valley region. I've moved here back and forth. I did grow up in New York City for 8 years in Queens. But I hear a lot of the atheist rappers and a lot of the free thinkers and the poets. And my path was a little different because with them, a few of them, I hear that they've had really a bad experience with religion, and which kind of steered them to the atheist or the humanist kind of criteria. In my case, I really didn't really have a bad experience with religion. Well, I would say up until 9/11. You know, wasn't when I was much older. But, I mean, growing up, I grew up in a Pentecostal household in a suburban area, like I said, of New York. And, you know, I basically went to church, and I read all the books and the sermons and went to Sunday school. But for me, I don't know, it might be my attention span. I just never really got religion. I never really grasped the idea of the gods. Moving forward, I think when I was 11, I actually read a book on Alan Watts, the Buddhist. And I think from there, that's where ironically, that's when my journey for humanism started. Is I really got into a lot of Buddhism and Zen Buddhism. Really, at age 11, I really converted myself. And from that path, I kind of, went from being Buddhist to looking into other religions and other beliefs and just kind of absorbing everything and up to where I'm at now. I consider myself a free thinker, atheist and humanist. But I definitely retain some of my Zen Buddhism roots. I still meditate once in a while as much as I can and practice yoga. I read the sutras. And I guess basically that's it. That's where I'm at right now. I'm always evolving.
Excellent. Fantastic. And I guess I have a question. Your family, how are they with your free thinking?
Well, growing up, my family went to church, but they're not really heavily involved with the church. I mean, they would, occasionally go. I think when I converted myself to Zen Buddhism at age 11, my mom was really pretty supportive of it. I was really into I was that little kid who was into martial arts and Japanese cartoons and everything. And, that was my dream, basically going to Japan one day. That never happened. That might still happen. But, Bruce Lee was my idol. And I remember reading his autobiography, and he was talking about meditation and yoga and martial arts had helped him. And that's really the path I followed. But, I was one of those kids in growing up in the 80s watching a lot of kung fu flicks and, wannabe Shaolin and ninja, things like that. But, I mean, I feel like I really didn't have a religious orientation, but, that's something that kind of opened me up. I like to basically, like to see what the other side thinks and do. And I'm very open-minded, I believe. I'm basically a sponge. I'll absorb everything and just, take it from there, I guess.
Excellent. That is fantastic. Sounds great. But you never know. That trip to Japan may end up happening sooner than you think.
So.
Keep reaching for that beer. Excellent. So what we're going to do right now is we want everybody to get a chance to hear one of your tracks here. So we're going to play one now, and then we're going to play one later. But the one we're going to play now is titled Infidel. Would you like to tell us something about that song?
Yeah, I basically, I was listening to all the other atheist rappers, and don't get me wrong, I'm not, there's no jealousy among it. I feel like we're all in this together. I'm deeply influenced by Graydon Square. I first heard him in around 2007, 2008. It blew me away. I mean, I remember the day I was just actually had just come from a spoken word poetry event that was held in Tampa, and I just remember this one friend came and said, "You got to hear this song by this atheist rapper." I mean, at the time, I basically was into atheism and free thinking. I was, reading, Rest His Soul, Christopher Hitchens, and a lot of Richard Dawkins. I was just a sponge. When God Is Not Great came out, that really hit me. I'm like, whoa, this is what I've been thinking about for years. This is what I felt for years, and the whole slew from like 2006 to up to now, all the books. But anyway, I basically as time has gone along, since I basically have become open, you know, and into rap, because like I said, I started out as a spoken word poet, and you know, I did that after 9/11 because I had a lot of anger after 9/11, especially towards Muslims. I'd say from right now it's kind of ceased a little bit, you know, but basically I just took what I know and I put it into a song, and basically I broke down, you know, basically the history of skepticism and atheism and rational thought, and I just put in the songs, and I, you know, I break it down where, from historical figures to celebrities to athletes and actors and other musicians, and you know, basically saying, you know, hey, this is who I am, but these people reflect on me, and that's basically the.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad that you're finding a way to channel that anger. And, you know, I'm pretty sure as you've grown in your free thought, you understand that not all Muslims are to be blamed for what a couple of people decided to do.
So, oh, absolutely. You, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I actually have a few Muslim friends. I've been actually working with a group on Facebook, Apostles Former Muslims, and you know, I've been educated. I mean, you know, it's basically, you know, there's some Muslims in there. They've grown up Muslim, but they haven't had the same feelings as their parents. And, you know, down the line, they do have a sense of doubt. And they want to inquire into other things. And, you know, I think that's great. I mean, I think that could be the same said for some Christians. You know, there might be a kid that maybe growing up is Christian, but I don't think you should hate the whole family. You know, at least respect them and have human concern for them, because maybe down the line that person that's a fundamentalist could be on our side. And you know, I take that into account when I read a lot of Dan Barker. You know, he was a preacher for years.
Yeah.
And just one day he just decided, he's like, I don't know if this is for me, and he started having doubts. You know, and right now, of course, everybody knows he's one of the most prominent free thinkers and atheists out there. But definitely a special shout out to the Freedom for Religion Foundation. They supported my music along the way, and I've got a little campaign going later on down the road. But I guess that's it. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going on there.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. No, I was going to say, next time, you know, you have an event, make sure you hit my wall with it. That's not an issue. I do not have a problem with people posting things on my wall unless it's extremely highly inflammatory. Then I have to pull it down. But you're not that kind of guy, so I don't have to worry about that. But,
No. I have a little sick sense of humor once in a while, but, you know, that's the way I am. And a lot of people know my other page, Tracy Smith, and you know, I just let it out there because I'm basically FreeThoughtMC and Tracy Smith is the same person. But yeah, I'll post pictures and jokes and just anecdotes and quotes, and I'm not really trying to offend anybody, I guess, to the fullest. What I'm trying to do is just, you know, open eyes and just kind of spread the truth, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're on the same team. We're definitely on the same team. And just, you know, going back to what you said, we want to send our condolences out to Christopher Hitchens' family, his wife, Carol Blue, and their child for their loss. We send our condolences.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I'm not a drinker, but I have some tequila lime chicken in my hand. You know,
he definitely was an influence on me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and play Infidel for you guys. So enjoy it. This is Free Thought MC Infidel.
From South to Mountain, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and Diogenes. Moving forward, being a skeptic with the way to go. Just as Augustine and Galileo, Da Vinci, Hieronymus, Thomas More. Socrates and Thomas Hobbes will step for a hardcore. Spinoza, the original pantheist, then John Locke. The age of the philosophers on the road couldn't be stopped. Montesquieu, Voltaire, and Rousseau, you say? They were the Dawkins and Kitchener's and from back in the day. Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, not Kirk Franklin, and definitely not Kirk Cameron. Frederick Douglass, Mark Twain, Albert Einstein, A. Philip Randolph, but expelled is Ben Stein. This is the readment. This is the readment. This is the readment. This is for the freethinkers, rationalists, and atheists. Clara Barton, Tom Edison, Harriet Tubman, Isaac Asimov, and Clara Steinem. Jodie Foster, Annie DeFranco, George Clooney, Ted Turner, and Marlon Brando. Frank Lloyd Wright, Gene Roddenberry, Gore Vidal, and Salman Rushdie. Hitchcock, Eddie Vedder, and Penn Teller. Bill Gates, Walt Whitman, and Helen Keller. Zora Neale Hurston, Faith Waddleton, Woody Allen, and Jack Nicholson, Bill Maher to Seth MacFarlane, Carl Sagan, and George Carlin. And last but not least, can't forget about my man George Darwin. And if you think all atheists and free thinkers are negative and scary, do me a favor and put down the propaganda and march down to your nearest library. This is Speak on a T. And this is the remix. This is the remix. This is the remix. This is for the free thinkers, rationalists, and for the atheists. And also for the humanists. And agnostics. And bright. And rational. And liberal. And that's the way it goes. We thought it'd be 2009. Going to 2010. Word.
Excellent. That was Infidel by Free Thought MC. Excellent. That is a great song. And you told us how you were influenced to create that song. And you, who are some of your favorite rappers now? Not necessarily in the Free Thought community, but just overall.
Well, I definitely have to give props to also rest in peace to Soul Is Guru of Gangstar. I get a lot influence from him as far as the way he approached the song and his storytelling, and just the fact that he, you know, a lot of the rappers out there, there's this big emphasis on flow and style, and he just did it his way. He didn't really care. And you know, I guess a lot of people tell me that that I'm similar to that, and that I don't sound the same on every song or you know, on every album. Like I said, this my fourth album just came out last week. But, you know, sometimes I'll go with a slow flow rap or I do a lot of uplifting. I have dance tracks. I have slow rap, you know, and I've also even have a few spiritual raps that I've done. I have actually two raps about meditation. I have a rap about yoga. I actually also have a rap dedication that I just did for the Unitarian Universalist community, who I get about 6 years ago, I kind of really became involved with them. That really helped expand my humanism, background. But and another rapper I would say is probably Nas, just the way that he's a storyteller, and the way he sees things is the way he basically raps it. Like I said earlier, I did grow up in Queens for 8 years, so I did listen to a lot of his records, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's exactly how it is. I grew up in Jamaica, Queens for 8 years. Most of my life, though, I grew up, like I said, upstate New York and a rural area of a place called Comedy County, Chatham. But, another rappers right now, I really don't know. Well, yeah, I guess I do know. I mean, a lot of underground rappers I'm really attracted to. I can't, without saying that Immortal Technique has been a big influence on me. Definitely Twilight Kweli, Most Def. And right now, I have to be honest, I really don't listen to any rap on the radio. I kind of think, you know, it's all the same. The commercialization of it is really killing it. I really like to have some creative rappers come out. But yeah, I mean, I listen to a lot of the rap from the 90s too. Definitely Public Enemy, Arrested Development, X-Clan. Definitely.
Oh, X-Clan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember X-Clan. Great group. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I can't really think of I mean, it's sad. I hate to say it. I can't really think of any female rappers that I really, really follow. I follow Jean Grey because also she went the same path as me, where she went from spoken word poetry into actual hip hop music. But yeah, I just, I don't know. Right now, I feel sorry for the state of hip hop right now. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I hope there's somebody that could just come out and, you know, and bring real rap back.
Exactly. And the state of hip hop now is much different than what it was when it first came out, because I've been in hip hop or into hip hop from the very beginning, and some of it I can't take it nowadays. But I see you're into spoken word, so spoken word and neo soul. That's the type of thing that I personally enjoy, especially spoken word. I like to get to a poetry slam every once in a while and enjoy myself. And for those who have questions for Free Thought MC here, you can always dial in and speak with him. You can dial 310-982-4273. Again, that's 310-982-4273. Press 1 so that I will know you have a question or a comment for our guest here. But, yeah, so that is fantastic. You know, you've been around, you've been in this for a while, and, you know, you understand some of the old school rap and the new school rap. So I think I saw you post not too long ago that you have a couple of events coming up next year. Do you mind sharing that with us?
Well, I'm hoping. Right now I'm speaking with the event people at the Reason Rally in D.C. I'm hoping to get on that bill. I know they're trying to put something together with the musicians. Obviously, I'm sure Graydon Square would be there. Actually, speaking of Graydon, I know that right now he's actually in Fort Lauderdale for that that atheist conference that you were mentioning earlier. And, well, the thing is, I actually tried my butt to get there. Right now, the thing is, I'm like 2.5 hours from Fort Lauderdale. Last night, I did have a showcase, which, and that was in Lakeland, which actually now I'm kind of regretting because I wish I had taking the 2.5 hour drive to Fort Lauderdale, but you know, it is what it is. You know, I've been trying to expand my sound. I've been doing a lot of benefits and showcases. I had one coming up in February, and this to benefit migrant workers, and that'll be in Lakeland. I have expanded my sound beyond humanism and atheism. I'm working with a group, I believe, out of Tennessee, and I did a song in regards to the field of human trafficking and sex slave workers. That one's called Pattaya Girl, and you know, I'm just basically speaking out against that. And I've also, over the past few years, have done a few songs also on feminism. I've really gotten into that, I guess, maybe in the past 4 or 5 years. Of course, there's a lot of influential feminists that are humanists and atheists and famous free thinkers. So,
excellent.
Yeah, my sound is always changing. But, you know, first and foremost,
fantastic.
I'm a free thinker.
Nothing wrong with evolving. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to evolve and grow. Change is a good thing, and that is fantastic, especially since you have your mind open to expanding not only your knowledge base, but you're also your music base. So that's fantastic. And the Reason Rally, that will be great. As I stated earlier, you know, I'm slowly being persuaded, and I believe I'll be there in March. AJ Johnson from American Atheist is one of the coordinators of the Reason Rally. So, yeah, you know, that's why we've been promoting it, making sure everybody knows about it. And, you know, I would really, really look forward to seeing you perform there. Actually, we have a call from 843 on the line. I believe they may have a question or a comment. 843, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Kim?
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I want to give brother all the props I can. I'm feeling them. I want to get some more information. I never heard of him before. I wanted to, you know, check out his CDs and stuff. And if he got it, I heard he had a Facebook and stuff. He can add me on and stuff. I want you know check him out. You know, he everything he was saying, I'm feeling him on and stuff. You know, he's real, and he got
Thank
a
you.
Good presentation on everything and all. I appreciate
Thank
that. Hear some more of his music.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Yeah, I'll give you my official page that I go off of. I really don't, have a separate page, but I have a Reverb page, and that's reverbnation.com/freethoughtmc. And I also have a personal page. Like I said, I don't have really much of my music on there, but you can kind of get an insight of who I am or what I do, and I do have links to my other music sites, and that's facebook.com/ Mr. Tracy Smith, Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, Smith, and that's, all one word. I'm involved in and I have been since 2008 and with an organization called the Anti-Injustice Movement. A lot of people might not have heard of them, but we are definitely growing by leaps and bounds. Basically, we're just a collective of poets, musicians, and activists. And, we're trying to, make a positive change and change people's viewpoint on free thinking and atheism. And, basically, I was one of the, I think I was like the sixth or the seventh member back then. And, by then, right now, I think we have over 300 members. It's run by two wonderful women, AK-47 and Santa Maria. And this is out of Edinburgh, over in the UK. So, if you want to get in on that and get the 401 on that, you could, always just kind of Google it. And then, there's various pages with the Facebook page and the MySpace page. Also wanted to mention about MySpace. I do have a MySpace page. It's myspace.com/freethoughtmc. I haven't really logged in on it, honestly, in like 3 months. And
Do you have Facebook? They kicked me off of MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, I got it mixed up. Yeah, I have a MySpace page, which I haven't really logged in. But I'm looking to delete that. I don't really go on that page. I have other various pages.
Facebook is a little better because MySpace, man, never. Because, Kim's on my Facebook thing. And I see a lot of, thought-provoking stuff, and I have problems with them on there. But, MySpace just permanently deleted me off of stuff I said. I can't even get on there.
Exactly, man. Yeah, I've been deleted twice from MySpace, and that's the problem. And now they, they have this all new interface and setup, but I can't follow it. So, I have old blogs on there from, 2 and 3 years ago, if you want to go on that and read them. And that has links, to the AIM and other things like that. But yeah, I'm just basically going to go with the Facebook pages and, the Reverb Nation page for now. So
there's a Facebook?
Yeah. Well, I have a Facebook link. If you go to the Reverb Nation page, it'll have the link to that to Free Thought MC. It's a group page, but I don't know it now because it's really kind of it's a long address.
Okay. If you can remember Rhetoric Esoteric, that's my Facebook page. It's got what I got on there now. I'm not sure what picture I have on there now.
Okay.
But it's not the one with the Santa Claus on the cross. It's the other picture. It should just be two pictures up there. The other one, not the Santa Claus on the cross, the other one should be me.
No, I'm thinking now about it. I'm on Facebook every day. I think I might have already added you.
Okay.
It might have been added under my personal page, which, like I said, is facebook.com/ Mr. Tracy Smith.
Okay.
I actually just posted there a few hours ago. Like I said, I like to put up some stuff that's not music related.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I like to put a lot of information and knowledge stuff out on my page, and they get mad every now and then. I get kicked off, but I get back on there. But I try and, you know, keep everybody informed on a lot of stuff. I be on, like, the religious stuff, the health stuff.
Same with me, yeah.
Stuff with the government and stuff like that. I be trying to, you know, keep everybody informed on stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's good. Yeah, I'm into the political activist field, too. I like to post about that. I did a lot of knocking on Herman Cain. I never liked him when he first came out, so I knew he wouldn't last.
Yeah,
I think Newt Gingrich is next, so I don't like him at all. I think it's just
I don't see nobody getting in the office. I mean, everybody pull up. They might as well just left Sarah Palin trying to get her in office because they didn't have nobody. I mean, none of them had a chance. They pulled a Mormon out and tried to get him in office, and that was a joke. I mean, they don't have anybody. I think Obama's going to get reelected, and he's going to start another war when he gets reelected.
It's like what the GOP has now. They're just revealing themselves, and it's like, oh, they're just getting dropped by the wayside, you know. It's like, you know, nobody's even talked about Bachman. I mean, I think she's going to be gone soon, too. But, yeah, I think Obama's coming up. Every time they open their mouth with those debates, they go off and they try to shoot off at the lip. They're just shooting themselves in the foot. And it's like,
they don't
have
anybody with a brain to stand to even, you know, come and debate it. You know, I mean, there's nobody that they can come out and be like, well, this is a Republican candidate and anybody, you know, back them. Everybody is just dumb. I mean, they don't have anybody at all.
No.
I mean, it's nobody for him to even worry about. I mean, he got Bin Laden. I mean, he's, you know, everything he's done. I mean, it's nothing really for them to, you know, come across with them with all the idiots that the Republicans are coming with. So, I mean, I don't see him sweating about getting reelected, really.
No, I think he's gonna pull it out. I really do. You know, and I mean, I've been hearing whispers about Ron Paul, but I mean, I look in the, you know, a lot of people send me little tidbits and things about history, and it's like, maybe not. Maybe we should just worry about Obama. I'll be honest with you. I mean, about a year ago, I was really down on Obama. I was anti-Obama, and it's like, over the past, I don't know, 9 months, I kind of have warmed up to him again. I mean, I voted for him, but I mean, yeah, I think he's steadily creeping up. I think he could pull it out of it.
I lost faith in Obama after Troy Anthony Davis got, you know, murdered, basically. And then the next day he spoke up on this rapist that, like, he raped, like, three, like, Mexican kids and killed them.
Yeah.
And he spoke up for him, like, the next morning after he died. He didn't even let the man's body get cold. And he's up there, you know, standing up for this guy, talking about, you can't kill him, he's not a United States citizen. This man is a United States citizen, and they had no proof, and you let him die without even opening your mouth. I mean, that's why I was just like, I'm through with you.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah.
Right. And see, what you don't, with the Latino gentleman that you're speaking about that Obama spoke up for, that was a matter of politics. And basically, it was a matter of politics dealing with the Mexican government because there's a lot of tension that, you know, it's not being reported on the news. But that's one of the reasons why Obama spoke up in that matter, not so much because he thought the guy was innocent, but it's more of a matter of political expediency. So that's the difference. But I'm just saying, not saying that either was right or wrong. I'm just saying to kind of let you know as to his motivation behind speaking up about the Latino young man that, you know, in that particular issue there. But what do you all think exactly? What do you all think about this Tim Tebow situation? Do you believe he's exploiting the village, exploiting the vulnerability of Christians in this country? Go ahead.
Well, I think personally, I mean, I've really been knocking him. I mean, like I said, I'm from Orlando, I mean, but I've been following him since he was a freshman in college. You know, I mean, he won the state two national championships. He's a sports legend here. You know, he's revered, you know. And obviously, you know, there's controversy with his eye thing with the scriptures. You know, that never really bothered me. I think right now, I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, I think about, like, what he does, the way he does it. And I posted something a few days ago where I was thinking, man, I've seen what he does somewhere else. And I had to go back and, you know, as far as there's a simple philosophy that people remember that it's called The Thinker. It's The Thinker Statue by Rodin. It's like, and I was looking at that and looking at the way Tebow does, you know, his Tebowing. I'm like, that's almost the same thing. It's like, maybe he's thinking, you know, if he wants to pray to himself, you know, I'd say, you know, let him have at it. You know, it that's his form of meditation. You know, I mean, I don't know really what the difference between what he's doing and what Buddhists who meditate in a square do. I mean, I don't see the difference. I mean, I was knocking him. I make fun of him. You know, I put up funny pictures and anecdotes. But, I mean, now this, I mean, what it got ridiculous when I saw a few days ago where these kids in New York got suspended for doing it. I'm like, you know, that's crazy. Why are they getting suspended? You got kids in high school, you know, got gang sign tattoos and pants down their butt, and then girls wearing stuff so tight. And that goes by the wayside. Nobody says anything about that, but, you know, you got two high school athletes, you know, they intimidate somebody, you know, who they revere, and they get suspended. I really don't understand it. I personally think that, you know, if he wasn't winning, that wouldn't be a big deal. If he kept doing it, and it, you know, if he, I think he's right now, he's like, what is it, like 6-1 or 7-1 or something like that. But if he wasn't winning, nobody would care. I think it's, you know,
it's that mainstream view of things. Like, Christianity is the mainstream. So, you know, there's Muslim athletes and stuff, but they are probably told different other religions. There's Mormon athletes and stuff like that. And they're probably told, you know, when, you know, we win, don't grab the microphone and speak. But if you're a Christian, it's okay. Like, I don't know if y'all into the UFC, but I love UFC, but I just, like, I had to turn the TV off when John Bones Jones won against Machida the other night. Because it was, like, so much bullshit. I mean, he choked him out on the cage, and then he went limp. And he saw him go limp, and he just let him go and let him drop on his face. And then when he gets to the interview, he says, I want to thank Jesus for this win. Jesus let him go and drop on his face instead of you bending down and just letting him sit down. You just dropped him on his face. You could have broke his nose, cracked his teeth. You did that just to, you know, show off some more and drop the man on his face. But then you want to thank Jesus about it. Jesus told you to drop him on his face? Really? I'd be like, that's the thing I can't stand about sports, because the things they do, I mean, they, like, what's his name? Boxing, Floyd Mayweather. All that he did in his last fight, I mean, he cursed the old white guy out and, you know, stole on the guy. The guy deserved it because he did him wrong. But, I mean, all that he won, thank God afterwards and stuff. I'd be like, thank your trainer. Thank your skills, you know.
Yeah.
Doing extra couple of push-ups or something. But
God
didn't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
you know, nobody wakes up when they get knocked out in the ring or get their leg broke on the field and then be like, I want to thank God that my femur bone just got broken and I'm still alive. You know, nobody thanks God then. But every time they win, it's, oh, holy hallelujah, Jesus and all that. It don't make no sense. It's pathetic, and I get sick of it.
Now, question for you guys. Do you believe that Tebow and other athletes like them are basically telling the public what they want because JerMichael Finley, you know, another, you know, player in the NFL, is saying that he's getting tired of Tebow coverage, that he finds it disturbing, and he feels that Tebow is just telling people what they want to hear. So is he exploiting the religious fervor, the hyper-religiosity in this country?
They're feeding off it because they happen to be Christian. You know, they happen to be Christian, so they're feeding off it like, well, oh, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to use this to get all the money I can.
Well, I think, I mean, I watch SportsCenter every day. I really haven't seen, you know, Tebow come out and say, you know, I do it and you know, I'm expressing my Christianity. I just see him do it. But I mean, I don't know what the difference is of that and what happened in the 80s where you saw the Notre Dame football team, every time they came out to the locker room, they had touchdown Jesus. You know, they were winning national championships, and everybody was hating on them because of that. You know, and, you know, the religious aspect was a little, you know, a little aspect of it. You know, but now Notre Dame's not winning. It's not a big deal. You know, nobody's screaming, oh, let's take out touchdown Jesus. I think, you know, it's just that he's winning. And just people like a good hero and a good story, and they like to jump on a bandwagon, you know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not, but if they don't or if they do and they lose, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I think we're just going to go into next year and people go, oh, yeah, remember that Tebowing thing? But, yeah, I just think it's, you know, it's just people jumping on the bandwagon. You know, the same with the NBA. I remember, you know, the finals. I can't remember which one it was, Lakers and Bulls one year. And after the game, you know, they all went in a circle and started praying, and there was a big deal about it. You know, it didn't really make me mad. I guess what made me mad is, like, you know, why they having the camera go all around the whole circle, you know. They were there for, like, 3 minutes, you know. Interview the other players who were walking off the court. But, you know, I think it's gonna go by the wayside. I think it's just a fad, personally.
Okay, excellent. And it's just, it's been interesting because Joe Flacco also is speaking out against it. And, you know, there are several players that have an issue with it, and I just found the coverage quite interesting. And personally, I just feel that the public is kind of playing into it, playing into his Christianity, because
exactly,
in all actuality, he's not the best player on the team. It's just the dramatic finishes that he's able to
Exactly.
So it's just interesting because, if that's the case, you know, one of the questions that I had posed was, you know, is this God that they serve so arrogant that he will indulge the drunken prayers of sports fans as opposed to the prayers of starving children and desperate, terminally ill people? So, you know, they're praying to their God to allow their favorite sports team to win, whether it's a point spread or whatever the situation may be. But yet, this God is allowing these teams to win these games. Well, what about those starving children? You know, you would think that, you know, if their God exists, that their God will motivate them to give more money to go and help these children that need help, or to donate more money to research, you know, research and clinical trials to help people find a cure to some of these terminal illnesses, or at least try to make it a little bit better for the people who are suffering through it. I just find the whole thing interesting, just how it's all set up and the mindset. And to me, it's like an arrogance, you know, a Western arrogance, because I'm not sure. I see some of that in England as well, especially with their soccer teams. It's just amazing because what is it about sports? It's this obsession with sports.
It's a money bringer. It's a money bringer. You get all those sports fans that, you know, want to drink and want to, you know, cheer on the team. And you got all of those, and then you want to get another crowd of people. So drag religion in, and then you got everybody. Once they drag religion in, they got a whole arena full of, you know, the whole Coliseum full of people to watch the game. And, you know, they're going to bring the kids and everything and buy hot dogs. And, you know, they're going to sell out. It's a crowd bringer. Anything that's going to bring a crowd, if atheism was, you know, mainstream, they'd promote it on TV, and they'd give us front row seats, so we might get free tickets to a game. But it's not the mainstream, so, you know, they'll shun us away, and Jesus is brought up to the front of the attention of everybody. If Islam was, you know, more of a popular thing, and it wasn't shunned because of, you know, the wars and the bombings and the underwear bombs and stuff, then it would be the thing that everybody would be promoting. But he's shunned, so, you know, a Muslim player that might be the best person on the football team or the basketball team, He might make all the points tonight, but he's not going to be able to speak after the game. They're going to get the Jesus fanatic to talk because he's going to promote and he's going to make everybody sell out to come to the next game.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. And I'm at note to follow up. And that was a good analogy. Yeah, I think religion historically has always been about power and money and controlling people. To take what George Carlin says, he says, God and Jesus, they love you and he needs money. He's an all-powerful, all-perfect, knowing, and all-wise being, but somehow he just can't handle money, Because, religion does take in billions of dollars. They don't pay any taxes. It's like they always need a little bit more, sports is an accident of that, There are universities out there, particularly BYU and Oral Roberts, that have been established by religious entities. And you always see those schools, they got the big campuses, and they probably got the big churches up on campus and everything like that, And then in another aspect, you have all these mega churches popping up with the same promises to me, the same lies that have been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. I think the government should step in and start taxing these churches, why should they get away with all this, especially what's going on now with all these scandals and child sex abuse cases,
Exactly. Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Ironically, my oldest sister, her husband is down at ORU. Well, she's down at Wisdom, of course, at ORU pursuing his PhD, and I guess they're going to try to open up them a church, and I've already promised her that I will be outside of their church protesting. That probably will be only one of the few times that you all will see me with a picket sign outside somebody's church.
Hey, you got to do it. Yeah, hey, yeah.
Because I know the truth. I know what happens in the background. I know what happens with a lot of these ministers and churches. It's just that I don't tell it all. But regarding my sister and her husband, oh, hell yeah. I will be out there with a picket sign and my little karaoke machine walking in a circle telling it.
Yeah.
Tell all your stuff at the beginning, and if people still decide to go to your church, then I'll just write it off as they're gullible. But that's an interesting story. But, yeah, I guess some people can say that sports is like a religion.
Yeah.
In this country.
And it is.
They got mad with me one time. I said, not more like sports. Religion is like pro wrestling. It's all a nice show and all, and it's all entertainment. It's not real at all.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I got that.
It's acting.
Yeah,
it's acting. I mean, I've even heard pastors, one pastor in particular, who got up in his pulpit and told us, that he was an actor, that he should win an Emmy because he does so good at acting. And that's all it is. Many of them know they're up there acting, and when you go to churches, just pay attention when you watch it on TV or online, or think back to when you were attending church. Remember how they would always make you clap, make you stand, and they were always talking
non-alcohol.
About the security in the building?
Wait a minute, non-alcohol. Okay.
And they were always talking about how the spirit was in the building, like they were trying to force a reaction from the people. And in many cases, it's acting because they know that a lot of people will try to emulate the pastor. So if the pastor is happy and singing and clapping and standing up, many of the people will follow suit and do the same thing. It's quite interesting. And, but again, I agree with you. They definitely should pay taxes. And Terry in the chat room said they don't pay taxes because of church and state. And basically, he's saying that he thinks it's fair, but the problem comes in when they tack a daycare on and earn income or receive state dollars. Then it becomes a conflict of interest. Well, in addition to that, they own a lot of property, and they get that property for next to nothing. And because it's under the 501c3 of the church, basically they pay no taxes on that property, but yet they're still collecting rent.
And in many cases, you know, some of them are slumlords, so they don't want to make the necessary repairs and upkeep of the building. And it's just, it's really interesting. You know, it's really interesting. But, yeah, I believe that they should pay taxes, especially since the majority of them are in, you know, poverty-stricken areas, you know, poverty or poor neighborhoods. And the taxes that they're not paying is being taken away from the people who really need it, as far as, like, the schools and the roads and all of those, you know, all of those things that they need desperately. And if the church isn't paying taxes, you know, the rest of the state is burdened with that, because you hear a lot of that in rural areas when they're talking about the major cities. They don't understand why they have to pay extra taxes to underwrite, to fund the city. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why. But I just find it interesting. I just find it very interesting. So
yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and going back as far as, like, you know, we were talking about taxing of the churches, I think, we should level out the playing field. I think, you know, if religion doesn't pay any taxes, well, what about the other side? What about humanists? I mean, I know that we have, you know, we have CFI centers in the country in certain select cities, but I like to see a push for, you know, those being tax exempt. I was talking with somebody from CFI Tampa about that, and I'm like, you know, well, why can't we have a CFI center? And for those who don't know, that's Center for Inquiry. Why can't we have a CFI center in almost every major city?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I think in that case, I think really the government should take a look and really redefine religion, the word religion. Because everybody says, oh, this is my religion, I follow this religion. You know, I mean, one person says religion, I say cult. I mean, I don't know, I'm being critical here, but...
What do y'all think about people that deny religion and say, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual? Because that is just like bullshit to me, really. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, but listen, the church is like, this thing I don't want to answer.
Well, with the people who claim to be spiritual as opposed to religious, and from, you know, what I've dealt with and the people that I've interacted with, and of course I haven't interacted with everyone, but basically many of them are ashamed of what's been happening with, we'll just use Christianity for right now, many of them are ashamed of the scandals, of the drama that's been coming from the church. So this is their way of kind of distancing themselves from, you know, religious or the Christian church in general. Because most of the people that I've dealt with who claim to be spiritual, they don't go to church, or they rarely go to church. And it's just interesting that, you know, that way they can hold on to their religion, but yet this themselves enough so that people won't necessarily put them in that same box, if you will.
Yeah, and in the same aspect, there's a lot of, I guess, accusations that basically atheists and humanists, that they can't be spiritual, you know, which is false. So, I mean, you know, it all depends. I mean, we have pantheists. I mean, they're very special, Unitarian Universalists. You know, although they come from Christian Judeo historical background, not all Unitarian Universalists are religious. There are humanist and atheist Unitarian Universalists. So, you know, I think in that aspect, you know, like I said, religion is really kind of blown out of proportion. You can be spiritual without having a religion, definitely.
I often wonder if that's any better, though, because, you know, I hear people who are spiritual but not religious. I hear people who still adhere to something that's kind of illogical anyway. Like, you get the people who believe in astronomy but don't consider the fact that that horoscope is saying that you and anybody else born during this time period are going to be doing the exact same thing today. Karma also says that I'm saying, anything negative, you know, saying, well, one, there's different types of karma, but one of the main forms of karma is the whole what goes around comes around thing, in which whatever happens to me, you're going to get paid back for. Well, I think of that as also, well, something bad happened to me, that means I was paid back for something I did wrong as well. So it's like, we keep going through all that. I just think all that stuff is logical, you know.
Yeah, that's Mario, Frank. That's Mario.
Hey, what's up, Mario?
What's up, man?
All right. Yeah, I feel you on that, because I think it's like a high-behind thing, like, well, you don't want to pick a side. It's just like, I'm going to stay in between, like Kim was saying, like, they're so embarrassed about things that happen in the church and stuff, or the mosque, or the temple, or the hall, or whatever, that they don't want to, you know, say what's going on. Like, I had somebody I call out on the street about, like, they was a Jehovah Witness, and they got kicked out of the hall, and they, you know, said, well, I don't go there anymore, but I'm still a follower. I'm like, how do you go there and you can't be there? I mean, how do you, I'm still a believer. I'm like, they don't even want you. You can't, you're not even known there anymore. They don't want nothing to do with you and nothing. You can't stay in their places or nothing, and you're still down with them. I mean, you're really a slave. And they got so pissed off and stuff, but it was just the truth. I mean, they just won't let go. I think it's really the hell factor that people won't let go of religion. If it wasn't a hell, the little scary part, or, you know, you're going to bake in the oven on high for the rest of your life, or you don't do what Santa Jesus does, you would stop being fearful of it. But they get scared of it because of that fear effect. They scare you as a child to follow religion, and then they won't let go of it because of that.
Right, and I find that interesting myself, because there is a Christian preacher who was very popular. His name is Bishop Carlton Pearson, and he was one of the most prosperous preachers out there. I mean, he was everywhere. He used to hold the Zusa and, you know, very great singer. He's in Chicago now, as a matter of fact. And basically, he changed his stance on hell. He changed his stance on the belief of hell and a few other things, because he now teaches the gospel of inclusion, which includes everyone, regardless of their sex, race, religion, sexual orientation, so on and so forth. And when he changed his stance on hell and started including everyone, he lost everything. He lost his church. He lost his home. He lost his, you know, some of his friends. Oral Roberts personally condemned him. And he was like Oral Roberts, you know, son, you know,
wow,
spiritual son, but still his son. And, you know, when Oral came out and condemned him, I know it hurt him. It took him a few years to kind of recover from that. But he's here in Chicago now. But, yes, even he's saying that he does not believe in the concept of hell. And many of us who've done research, we know that Jewish people don't believe in hell either. And so I'm trying to understand how, you know, a religion, you know, Christians, which is built on a Jewish religion, how, you know, where the disparities came from, and, you know, in totality, basically, we don't believe in any of it. We know that it's pretty much regurgitated or recycled or badly plagiarized mythology. We know that. But I'm just trying to understand where the disconnect came and why you have the three different religions. You have Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And there are some things that are so vastly different. I'm just trying to figure out what happened. But, you know, Catholicism, you know, the Catholic Church, they are the ones that started promoting hell, and it was a mechanism in which, you know, they can control the masses, they can control the people. And just like a lot of people don't know where the confessionals came from, you know, with people saying their confessions. Part of that was part of the war effort to get information from people who was part of the other side, the opposing side, and the priest will get the information and pass it along. That's where the confessionals came from. So people just need to do their research and understand what they're believing in.
Yeah, you know, when I watch a lot of movies, especially set back in those time periods, they really adhere to a lot of religious or ideals and aspects and everything like that. Like, if I'm watching something, you know, and I actually talked to a lot of people and read about this. You know, like I'm watching something like, say, like the Tudors. They used to come on HBO or Showtime. And whenever they saw the cardinal, the bishop, or some type of high-ranking clergy, they would get on their knees and kiss the hem of his robe, or they would kiss his hand and kiss his rings and everything like that. And I always, I mean, I understand there was a time of ignorance and whatnot, but I always wonder, like, why do you need to kiss his ass that much? If he's not God, why is he the one getting his ass kissed like that? I just think that, you know, I think that comes from, you know, a lot of people like, I'm reading a lot of different things. I'm looking at people, especially when it comes down to Eddie Long and other church members, church men being caught doing something. They always say he's a man of God, as though that's
right.
supposed to clear up the whole thing, and that's supposed to say, well, he didn't do it. Like in a court of law, saying he's a man of God means, well, no, he didn't do it. Let's let him go. That don't mean shit. You know what I'm saying? That don't mean shit. You know what I'm saying? If you go back through history, churches used to have armies. Churches used to be the ones controlling things and stuff like that. And, you know, saying that someone's a man of God, especially a man of a God that's done the things the Bible said he's done, is like, that means nothing to me. It means nothing to me anyway, because I don't believe in God. But to me, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, I understand where you're coming from, and that's called personification. Personification. So what happens is, because these people can't have, well, they don't see God, they don't talk to God, some of them claim that they do, but you have this man sitting up there saying that he's a representative of God, that he's God's vessel and God is speaking through him. Some people take that a little bit further and they see him as God, and you'll hear these people saying, see the God in me. And it's some of these messages that they're putting out there, and it gets very convoluted, it gets very confusing. And then when you're dealing with people who are educationally disadvantaged, if you will, again, you know, how they hear and interpret things can be a little bit different than other people who may be educated. And in some cases, some other people who are uneducated, they're just relying on their logic and common sense. And so it's just interesting when you look at all of that. And, you know, a good example I like to give of that is the transconfiguration. Yeah, transconfiguration. And I'm sorry, the transubstantiation. And that's basically communion. And with transubstantiation, they will tell you that the wine or grape juice, whatever they're serving, is the blood, and that the cracker pretty much is Jesus' body. And so one of the conflicts, or one of, you know, the controversies with the Catholic Church is when they serve communion, that basically they tell the people to think of it as real blood and real body. And it just gets really interesting, because I remember reading a story a few years ago of a young man that, you know, basically took the cracker, hid it under his tongue, and tried to leave the church with it. And I guess someone said something or saw it, or he said something, and they had that guy arrested. He was actually arrested because they were saying that he was stealing the body of Jesus. It's just interesting, but yeah, it's a matter of interpretation, and we just have to be really careful with that. But yeah, in regards to that, yeah, it's a lot of personification there. You know, they see God in that person. That person is now God on earth to them. And that's not in all cases, but in many cases, and it's just, it's interesting.
And during when they, you know, when those people that they put on that pedestal, they, when they do wrong, then it's, oh, I was just sinning, or the devil made me do it. So then it's okay for whatever they did, because they didn't really mean to do it. The devil tempted them, or, you know, they were weak, and they touched a child, or they had a baby by somebody in the church or something. And it's okay because the devil made them do it. And they're so weak and lame that they can get away with it. No matter how high of authority they is, that's all they have to say is, I sinned, or the devil made me do it, and to get away with it. It's so lame.
I think that's why, you know, it's important for free thinkers and atheists, you know, other people that are non-believers, you know, just to keep going, you know, and, you know, because I'm convinced that religious claims have not withstood the test of reason.
There's nothing to be gained by believing in anything untrue. And I think that's why we have to go after this. And you know, that's basically a main focal point of my music and my activism is that, you know, we have to do everything that we can to show that these tools of faith, you know, they can't hold up to the tools of reason. You know, a lot of it, like I said, has to do with superstition. You know, I'll be honest. I mean, when I was a child, I was superstitious. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the devil getting me. I'm much older now. I know those things don't exist. You know, it's just all mind game. I believe, too, that, you know, many religionists are good people, but they would be good without religion anyway. You know, religion.
Right.
I mean, religion doesn't have a monopoly on good deeds. You know, I mean, a lot of moral people, social people, people that have contributed to society have not, you know, been religious. And, you know, I point to Thomas Jefferson. You know, a lot of these politicians you see nowadays talking about, oh, America is a Christian nation. And, you know, I even go back to the campaign where a lot of people were like, Obama is a socialist. You know, and that basically stems, a lot of people don't really realize this, but Obama was raised as a humanist early on. Of course, now he's a Christian. You know, in my view, I think that's kind of, he kind of got forced into that when he got with Michelle. Plus, you know, to run for public office, you know, it's pretty hard for a humanist to kind of maintain that, you know. Pete Stark did it, but he's basically the only one, you know. But you don't really see, you know, any of the House of Representatives or governors or senators come out and say, yeah, you know, I'm an atheist. You know, you don't see that. I wish there would be some more that would come out. But, you know, I mean, basically religion has basically consistently resisted the progress of us humanists. And, you know, I think we just got to keep at it. But, yeah, that's just my take on that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I totally agree. I'm sorry, Kim. I'm sorry, Kim. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Frank. No, you're good.
Oh, no, go ahead, Mario.
All right. I totally agree with you, man. I always had the impression a lot of time when I see him say this, I'm like, yeah, let me say that shit, get it out of the way. You know, a lot of the things about religion that does bother me is like I said some before, and I think it was already said by someone else, and I cannot remember who said it, and I think I might have put my own little spin on it or anything like that, so I can't take full credit for it. But I'll be like, you know, it's like with or without religion, you still have good people doing good things and bad people doing bad things. But to get a good person to do a bad thing and feel that it's a good thing, it takes religion. Because, you know, when I read through history and everything like that, you know, and especially when I watch period pieces, movies from set back in different periods, a lot of times those people really felt like they were doing good. And so they were treated as though they were good people. And everything like that. It's only through the lens of history that we begin to realize that no, that was bullshit. You shouldn't have done that. You know what I'm saying? You know, that was wrong. You know, we know that now, but at the time that they were doing it, they swore up and down. They were the Inquisition. I'm pretty sure they felt like they were doing a good thing. You know what I'm saying? When I read about Nazi Germany and everything like that, a lot of those people weren't really all that gung-ho about the whole anti-Jewish thing, but then you put people around enough people who are encouraging them to do something that they really shouldn't do, and you brainwash them into believing that it's for their own good that they're doing these horrible things, well, yeah, you can get them to go along with it.
You're right, because it's like, here, like, y'all in, like, bigger cities and stuff, but I'm from South Carolina, and there's a lot of dumb people here, and here they have a thing of calling atheists devil worshippers all the time.
Yeah.
You're atheist, you're a devil worshipper. So I've been on a crusade of my own here to open people up. And, you know, I've been putting out papers called Wake the Fuck Up on people's windshields to, you know, about atheism and letting them know. And understand that, you know, we're not devil worshippers. We don't believe in the devil. We don't believe. How can we believe in the devil when we don't believe in his creator? We don't believe in any of the stories.
Yep.
That's what
you
need to understand. And they, because I get so tired of it. Like, I had a couple of atheists from my group that came here the other weekend. He had an emergency surgery. He had to come here and get himself together. And his wife was went to a couple of places with me to get him straight stuff here. And just everybody here is like, Jesus, Jesus, no matter what you're talking about. You could be like, which oranges are better, the juice oranges or the tangelos, or, you know, which one? Jesus said, so, you know, it was really getting up her nerves. So she got into a lot of arguments with different people about stuff, and she's just like, I don't understand it. She's like, everywhere I go, it's devil worship. But I'm like, so after we left, I just printed me out some little pamphlets about atheism, and I put them on people's windshields right here, because I just got nothing. I grew up here, and it happens all the time. But it's annoying for somebody that's never seen it before. So I just, like, it's time to wake up call and try and broadcast it more, because it's not many atheists here at all anyway, so it's even harder. I mean, I don't know 10 atheists in South Carolina, so it's really hard to, you know, to fight by myself with it, but I try and do best I can.
I have a question for you, Frank. Question for you. So when you're out there and you're handing out your pamphlets and your flyers, do you leave any information on how they can contact you? So do you put an email address? And if so, what
I leave my Facebook account for.
Nice.
I haven't gotten any positive input. I always get negative input from people. Like they either tell me I'm going to hell, or I hope you don't have any children, or, you know, all kinds of negative stuff. I haven't gotten any positive feedback from anybody.
Wow.
At all. It's always negative about stuff they don't know any more than I know, because, I mean, everybody here is pretty much, you know, Christian, a few Muslims, a good bit of Mormons around here, Jehovah Witness. I found, you know, like two atheists since I found out about, you know, Facebook, and I met like Mendissa and Kim and a few people. I found like three other atheists here this year. I mean, it's hard. I know there's more people, but it's just getting people to come out and say it. You know, that's the problem. A lot of people are scared, and I try and be as open as I can to make them be like, well, wow, he really doesn't give a fuck. He's out here with it. He's openly atheist, to get them to, you know, come and join the team. But I did it one night in a Pizza Hut here, and I actually got a guy to come out and shake my hand, and he's friends with me on Facebook now. He just like, man, I never had the balls to say what you just said to them. He's like, you took on like eight people by yourself. And now
that's
he raises hell with him at his job now. And, you know, he's just like, you know, I get more respect at my job and stuff now. And I'm like, you know, you gotta stand up for yourself. I'm like, you're not alone. I'm like, if you have a problem about it, I'll come up there, because I'm like, you know, you can talk. And I'm like, you can get somebody to come up there and stand for me. I'm like, there's organizations and stuff, and they can't fight you or nothing about your beliefs. I'm like, don't even worry about it. And they disrespecting you and stuff about your beliefs, you can have backup.
Right, I understand. I just had two incidents this past weekend. I was, the second incident was I was going into a store, and you know how they have the Salvation Army kettle people out there this time of the year everywhere. And so basically, I was going into the store, and the young lady asked me if I wanted to make a donation. And I said, no, thank you. And she was like, well, why not? They, you know, it's a great organization. They help a lot of people. And I said, no, but it's a Christian organization. And I try to, when I do make donations, try to give it to atheist organizations. She said, are you an atheist? And I said, yes. She said, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
And
now, there's also, I'm sorry, there was also something about recently about the them being against gays. I remember reading an article about that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that? The some gay couple wanted to give and they denied it. Do you remember that? It was just on the news.
Yeah, no, they're you know, it's a Christian organization. They reject, you know, homosexuality in any form. And it's just interesting because, you know, money is money, whether it comes from a hetero couple or a homosexual couple or what have you. And when you're looking at the situation, you know, money is great regardless of where it comes from. But if they want to get the couple's money, then the couple should have turned around and given it to another organization. And for those of you that are out there, there are quite a few atheist organizations that do a lot of outreach and help people in the community. So that information is out there, and I'll post it on my wall. I've already posted it in a note. So if you go to my Facebook wall and go into my notes, you'll see a note particularly labeled atheist organizations or atheist charities. So you all start looking that up if you want to make some donations. There are plenty of them out there. A lot of people don't realize that Doctors Without Borders is an atheist organization. The ACLU is an atheist organization. And then there are a lot of smaller ones. Flash happens to be one. Ken Lukinen started that group, and they take donations as well. So if you all want to donate some money, you know, that's, you know, one of the routes that you can take. But yeah, no, you know, if a lot of these Christian organizations, just like the one, I forget who it was, but they turned down a donation from the atheist community, and when information got out there, it went absolutely viral. So instead of, you know, trying to work with them in some regards, we just need to work on establishing more. Yeah, establishing more nonprofit organizations that does outreach to help people because, again, you know, with our organizations, we're not going to try to proselytize to you before we help you. We want to help you first. And then if you have questions, we'll answer those. Go ahead. But, yeah, no, I just think it makes a big difference. So, you know, there are atheist organizations, atheist charities out there, and I would just encourage you all to go and look and see who got there and what's available. Well, we have a few calls on the line, and this should be interesting here. So let's pick up this call here. Let's talk to Flying Fish.
Hello?
Flying Fish, are you there?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to talk about, you were talking about how Christianity usually rejects homosexuality, which is sadly almost completely true, but I myself am a Christian. In my church, my pastor has refused to marry anyone until homosexual marriage is legalized. And, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is the Bible is it's a story. It's poetry. It's a lot of things. Homosexuality is not a sin. It's something you're born with. It's something you are made to be.
How can you condone the Bible then? The Bible is not poetry. The Bible is supposed to be the word of God. So God hates homosexuals. So how can you be a part of that? You have to leave that alone, bro. There's no need for you to follow that. That book hates you. That book hates me because I'm black. That book hates me because I got two different fabrics on.
Well, no,
No matter what law changes, it doesn't matter because that book still says that God don't like you. God says you are disobeying him by laying with another man. So you are doing wrong by what the Bible says. No matter what law, a law can say anything, but that Bible is supposed to be the head law. And no matter what laws that any government or man make, that Bible is still a little less than the church.
Let's let him make his point. Go ahead, Flying Fish.
Well, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago by men. It was written by men. It was written by men so that they would have an excuse to pass, to enforce things that they believed were correct, and under the guise of this is what God is saying. There's a lot of contradictions in the Bible. There's a lot of saying, love your family, love your this, love your that. And then there's also parts of the Bible that says, kill everyone. So there's, it's not a pure, you know, one guy. It's not God saying every word in this book. It was people used and abused this and used it to give excuses for why they should have power and why they should, you know, why they should kill homosexuals. They used and abused. Religion has been used and abused since the start of time. It's been abused and used as reasons to control people. And, you know, it can't be completely taken out of context.
Unfortunately, though, it has. I mean, I don't know
what
else to say. It just has. I mean, I agree with you. It is a bunch of stories, but it is what it is. I mean, this is why I do what I do.
Right. You know, I kind of like, you know, and I kind of see what you're saying. One, I kind of disagree on a few points, though, is that when you said it can't be completely taken out of context, that's one of the caveats that sticks with me, is that, you know, it's like I can't look at the Bible as being fully truthful or anything, or any of it being worth really paying attention to, because it's like, if there are good parts in the Bible, they're buried within the Bible. And it's like, if you get the instruction manual to build a desk, you can't just start at page 36 and go on ahead. You gotta start from the beginning. And what's the point of an instruction manual if you discard half of it? But I agree with you on a lot of points, though. Don't get me wrong, I agree with you on a lot of points. I just think that you've already admitted that the Bible has a lot of BS in it. You've already admitted that. So it's like you crossed the bridge and got to this area over here. You dropped the bridge, but you're still staying. What keeps you believing in God if you know the mechanism you need to believe in God is faulty?
Well, you know, the point of Christianity is that at the time, you have to think about it at the time, because at the time, the Bible was considered the most liberating, like, radically, like, positive book, because back then, there was, like, it was hell on wheels. I mean, the horrible things that you hear in the Bible sounded like good news to people back then. I mean, it was called the gospel, the good news. The Binding of Isaac was considered one of the most horrifying stories of the tells Isaac's father to sacrifice on Isaac, and then says, oh no, it was just a test.
All right, Brian, someone had a question for you. Someone in the chat room wanted to ask you, is basically the Bible has a bunch of conflicting stories. Why is it a guide to live by?
Sorry, what?
They said the Bible has a bunch of conflicting stories. Why is it a guide to live by?
Yeah, that is true. The Bible does have a lot of conflictions. For one, many times Jesus says, I am God, and then in later times says, I and God are separate. So it's written by different people with different ideas and different interpretations. So it's not, one guy did not sit down and write the whole thing.
But do you know that the Bible is plagiarized, that all those stories are stolen from the book of Gilgamesh and the book of the dead and everything? All those stories are stolen.
Right.
And the pagans.
Well, yeah, a lot of religions are similar to each other.
All those stories are stolen in there. Jesus, I mean, it's 5,000 years that he had this practice with December 25th and the walking on water and we're coming back after 3 days, he was dead, and, you know, the 12 disciples, all that stuff is plagiarized.
Right, because there were 13 other messiahs who were crucified in the same way as Jesus. They were in the grave for 3 years, and yet they rose. The most notable one is Mithra. And if you go back and you do the research on the mythology, you know, you'll be able to do a comparative analysis and see. That's the reason why we say, you know, in many cases that the Bible is badly plagiarized mythology. It's just regurgitated and recycled.
Old Testament,
but, I mean, we're all entitled to our opinions. Go ahead, dear.
Well, the Old Testament prophesies the coming of Jesus or some Messiah, unnamed Messiah. And there were obviously countless people who wrote stories about that Messiah coming. So I understand where you're coming from. Personally, I think it's kind of unfair for a God to expect someone to choose Christianity. If were Christianity the one true religion, which, you know, if that were the case, I don't see why God would expect us to be able to see clearly, oh, that's the right one, because there have been countless messiahs and countless religions that preach love and very similar things. Islam is very, very closely similar to Christianity. There's all sorts of things, so...
I feel you, brother. I meant to cut you off, but I think where you're not getting the point of it is, we're not talking about, like, these stories were done before the New Testament. We're talking about before the whole Bible, before God, so-called, even, you know, said that there was going to be a Jesus. We're saying before they even wrote Genesis that these stories were stolen. Genesis was stolen. The creation story was done over and over again. There's a lot of creation myths. All those stories from Genesis was written over and over again. All those stories are stolen. Not to go all the way to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking about from Genesis. Those stories were stolen. Before God even said there's going to be a Messiah to save everybody, all those stories were stolen from Genesis up. All that stuff, Revelations, all that stuff was stolen.
And Kim, this is Rito. I just want to add, there is a saying among us humans that basically there's only been one Christian, and he apparently died on the cross. But I also wanted to make note, because there was a lot of mention about Facebook. A lot of my friends that I have been friending, that a lot of them have been expectantly and kind of asking and questioning my decision on, is I've been making a lot of friends with a lot of liberal Christians, and also there are, I don't let people know, there are people called atheist Christians. Basically, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in the concept, they don't believe in the Bible, but they follow Jesus Christ as a historical figure. And, you know, I have my whims about the existence of Jesus, but I respect that as a person. You know, they try to live that way. But yeah, if anybody out there gets a chance, Google that up. Atheist Christians or atheist Christians.
That's a category. Exactly. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kim, I just wanted to mention that I actually have to go. I'm sorry that I have to cut my time short. Can I give out my information though before I leave?
Please do, and I'll play your song at the end of the show. The next song I'm going to play is Listen to Your Heart. But go ahead, Free Thought MC, give your information.
Okay. Well, my official webpage, and one day I'm probably going to get a standalone one, but right now I'm on Reverb, and you can find me at ReverbNation.com/FreeThoughtMC. You can also find me on Facebook. I have my personal page up
I'm always open to adding friends and get new insight, and that's at facebook.com/ Mr. Tracy Smith. That's Mr. and Tracy spelled T-R-A-C-Y Smith. And if you go to the info section of that Facebook page, I do have my other links, my Facebook fan group page. So, you know, go ahead on there and click that. And like I said earlier, you know, I'm not really full-blown known right now. I've been on the down low. A few years ago, I had a few records, and they were mostly dance records. But I'm more focusing now on humanism and, of course, social activism. And
exactly.
You can also Google me and also look up the AIM. That's who I'm a member of, Anti-Injustice Movement. And big shout out to AK-47 and Santa Maria and the rest of the whole AIM fam. And that's all I got to say, basically.
Excellent, excellent. And I have posted your Reverb Nation page a couple of times, as well as the Hip Hop Express information. And again, but for those of you, I'll post and trace, make sure you post on my page as well your information so people can find it. But we want to thank MC Free Thought MC for calling in and being a part of the show. And to let you know, this is not the last time. Please feel free to drop in, call in. And when your new album drops, make sure you post that and let me know. And if you're going to be a part of the Reason Rally, also let us know so I can make sure I come introduce myself and have you back on the show.
And also, I'm sorry, Kim, I wanted to mention that, like I said, my new album came out. Right now it's exclusively on iTunes. So if you have iTunes, just go to the iTunes page and in the search box, just put in Free Thought MC, and I'll have all my music library there. Like I said, I'm getting into a lot of big things for 2012. I am independent and unsigned, so that's why kind of things have been going slow for me. I self-finance all my music, as well as other things, all my promotions. But I did just basically get signed to a entertainment management group, so that'll take the burden off of me using my own money. But I think that's basically been my big disadvantage. Also, I'm on Rhapsody.com. Of course, you could just find me on YouTube and Sonic Bids and Our Stage and all those, or you could just Google me. And I guess that's all I got to say. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, Free Thought MC. Like I said, the door is always open. And again, feel free to post your information on my wall. And we will be looking forward to having you on the show again next year. And I'll be looking forward to meeting you at the Reason Rally.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, and later on, when we end the show, we're going to end the show with Mr. Scott MC's song, Listen to Your Heart. So we wish you well. Wish you the best. You have a great rest of the weekend, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Yeah, appreciate meeting you, bro.
What's that?
All right, well, we have a few callers on the line. Let's pick up Darius's call. Darius Crewley, you are now on the line.
Yo, what up? I gotta agree with every point they said over there. That's good. That's very good, nigga. Yeah.
All right. That was interesting. So, we have another call here. Let's pick up Elf's call. Are you there, Elf?
Heavy weapons guy.
Hello, Elf? Okay, I think Elf is stuck underwater. And let's see here. We have Equestrian Citizen. Equestrian Citizen, you are on the line.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. As a Muslim man, I'm sorry, but I sort of got to disagree with your point. It's just that, you know, you've been talking all that yin-yang about, you know, like, there being no God and stuff like that, you know. I mean, I sort of joined late. Can you recap just a bit for me, please?
Well, basically, we have differing thoughts as to religion, and you're a Muslim man, And
yes.
Again, you're entitled to your thoughts and your opinions.
And
your
I'm sorry if I got off on the wrong foot there, but I'm just saying that I respect your opinion. I'm just saying that that's all, you know? I mean, in Islam, we're told to respect everybody, so I'm just saying.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
And
I thought I got disconnected.
Wow. So basically, I mean, what are you?
It's just that, no, the only reason I called in is because I just want y'all to recap on what y'all was saying. I'm sorry, I joined a little late, that's all. It seemed like a really legitimate show. I just want to hear what you're saying. I'm sorry, I joined a little late.
She was basically talking about, you know, a new atheist MC, and she was talking about, you know, the fact of athletes, you know, praising a higher being and, you know, the children starving and stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm reading that there in the description. I see that is a God so arrogant that he. I see what you mean. All right. I think the problem is that I think God got more important things to do than you know, like give his judgment over football games and stuff like that.
So why he ain't doing it?
Oh yeah, that was interesting. And we thank Equestrian for calling in. And we hope he enjoys his football game the rest of the day. Interesting. We have another call. Let's go ahead and answer this one, too. Matt. Oh, well, Matt is no longer there. All righty, then. It's an interesting day. We have Akara on the line. Akara had his hand up. Are you there? Akara?
Greetings. Yeah. As always, a good topic. You know, it's I think the one of the major things that people have to come to see themselves as more of a gift than just a creation. They fail to look at the quote unquote God within. Just looking in the mirror, you'll see God. You know, I tell people that you're here on this planet because you chose to be here. You were one of those millions of sperm cells that competed against the others to race through the penile shaft to get to the egg to come into this place called life. You know, and to look at that from an esoteric perspective and a spiritual perspective, you know, We're always looking for something outside ourselves for truths. We are in that center of the square, the elements of nature, air, fire, earth, and water. Without one of them, life could not exist. We could not exist.
We've kind of gone over this with you a few times off power. I believe you called a few times and we discussed earth, wind, fire, and water, the elements of the earth, and you know, that's absolutely wonderful, but, you know, again, you know, I believe we went through a history lesson as well, and one of the things that I was trying to convey is basically sometimes it's hard to teach people history. We can put the information out there, and we have to be careful with that because there's so much history that it'll take us the next 10 years to even get some of the basics out there, but what about the here and now? So we're trying to meet people where they are right now and deal with them in the here and now. And, again, you know, this has been, you know, kind of interesting there. But, yeah, you know, when it comes to the interpretation of the Bible, most of that is subjective. Again, you have Judaism, you have Christianity, you have Islam. And, again, you've heard the varying opinions today. But it's interesting. We have another call on the line. We have 612. On the line. Are you there, 612?
Hi, good afternoon. This is GE. And I'd like to just. Okay.
Did you want to add to the conversation here?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd just like to listen in a little further because I hear a lot of diversity with a lot of different, what we call theological aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And a few, I don't know if that's a voiceover or recording or something. It sounds kind of garbled.
Right. Yeah, we've had some interesting, we've had some interesting callers, interesting visitors today, and yeah, it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's
but
interesting.
Weird.
And yeah, you know, some of them are using, basically, there are different ways that you can change your voice and have things come out sounding differently. And, you know, it's just interesting. We've had some people coming in the chat room with the N-word and just a bunch of interesting things, but that's okay. Because, you know, again, we have to deal with these people in real life. And that's why I'm saying, you know, you can't necessarily just mute them in real life or ignore them in real life because they're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming, and we're going to get it from all directions, and this is how you build better arguments. This is how you grow a thicker skin, because when they come at you in real life, what are you going to do? You're going to have to either stand there and deal with it or walk away, and in many cases, many of these people will follow you and, you know, continue on with their verbal rant or harassing you or what have you. So it's just, it's been interesting, but again, yeah, you know, we thank Freethought MC for calling in and, you know, being a part of the show today. He was absolutely fantastic, and we appreciate his opinion. And let's pick up another call. We have an unknown caller on the line. Are you there?
Yes, that's me, William. I call from Skype, so a number doesn't show up.
Well, hi, William.
Am
How
I coming
you?
Through clear? Hey, I'm hanging in there. I don't know if you still have that young man on the line when he was describing how the Bible was a story that you just used, and you reminded him about the old plagiarism there, and it sounded like everything he was describing was all the reasons to not follow it, and to just kind of put it in the fiction section.
Right.
Yeah, that was Flying Fish. He's still on the line. Are you there, Flying Fish?
Uh-oh,
okay.
Nah.
You
go. But,
yeah, and I mean, again, it sometimes it takes people some time, and the fact that he's even listening to the show and engaging us, you know, I can appreciate that because, again, you know, apparently he has questions, and, you know, he's listening to the show. So, I mean, we have to be patient with people sometimes. But, yeah, you know, as someone said before, they appreciate my patience, and some of these people try it, but it happens. It happens to the best of us. But, yeah, now the Bible, again, most of that is a matter of interpretation. It's subjective, and many of us, you know, have already pretty much decided that it's plagiarized mythology. But if they want to believe it, I mean, that's not something we can snatch away. All we can do is, if someone turn down their radio, please. If you're listening to it on your internet, on your computer, turn it down. And basically, all we can do is present information that we have. Just like some of us, it took us time to leave religion. We have to afford them the same respect and time. So.
Yeah, that is the fair way to go. That's why I usually call in at the end of the show. I'm the old small town bigot that I don't want to hear these wacky guys with their crazy stories. They come knocking on my door Saturday morning.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and I remember when I hit you on the Facebook asking about the subject of the show about a football player that prays to win his games.
Yes, that's Tim Tebow.
Yeah, so he's probably praying to make some money for some gamblers that aren't supposed to do that according to his Bible, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I do have to admire the other kid who called in, though, you know, saying the fact that he is even acknowledging that there's a lot of BS in the Bible, everything. A lot of times, you know, I guess it's where it starts at. It's like a step, a process in which, you know, you begin to see the how it's unraveling, you know what I'm saying? The mystery is beginning to unravel. You're starting to see this doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense. And, you know, I guess eventually, I mean, it takes years of time to really get fully out of it and be like, You know, I can't believe I ever believed any of this. You know, for me, it was easier because I was never fully into religion in the first place. So, you know, but, you know, the fact that you have somebody who is saying, there's something here that is not right. I don't know what is not right, but a good portion of it is not right. I think that's a brilliant step.
It is a brave step.
Exactly, exactly. And I just want to go ahead and announce one more time for the Day of Solidarity for Black Nonbelievers, and basically that will be the last Sunday of February, which I believe is February, Sunday of February of next year, 2012, and this was proposed by Donald Wright, and he authored the book, The Only Prayer I'll Ever Pray, Let My People Go. And he has proposed that we have a day of solidarity and in which we can all get together and, you know, even if it's going out for coffee or tea or what have you, you know, parties and big events aren't necessarily, you know, the subject or the thing, but that will be February 26, 2012. He will be the first guest next year, the first guest of our show of 2012, January 8th. Sunday at 1 o'clock, and he'll be here. And basically, the purpose of the Day of Solidarity is it's an annual gathering in each city in the United States to promote solidarity amongst blacks in America that choose not to participate or adhere to a lifestyle influenced by religious dogma and irrationality. The gathering will serve to encourage fellowship and humanistic outlook to assist in eliminating all types of human oppression and exploitation and preservation of the environment. The gathering will take place each year on the fourth Sunday in February, which is Black History Month, and will continue until religion is no longer a dominant force or a dominant voice of American consciousness, especially in the black community. And I think that's a great idea. And I'm just looking forward to him being on the show January 8th. And, you know, there are a lot of events coming up next year. Next year we have the Reason Rally in March. And I posted the link to that in the room, but I will post it again. Those of you who are interested, you can go to reasonrally.org. Again, reasonrally.org. And the African American for Humanism Conference will be in Chicago next year. And they're still nailing down a date, but it's either the end of April, beginning of May, and Debbie Goddard is in charge of that. You can find that information, centerforinquiry.net/AAH. And it'll be here in Chicago, so I definitely will be participating in that. And I've decided I'm going to the Reason Rally, which is also being coordinated by A.J. Johnson from American Atheists, just to kind of let you guys know. And again, we want to send a congratulations out to Mandisa Thomas from Black Nonbelievers. She spoke at the Regional Atheist Meeting in Florida this morning, as a matter of fact. And from my understanding, it all went well. It was phenomenal. And as soon as we get the video, it will be posted on YouTube, and we'll post it to our pages and all of that. So we're looking forward to that, and we congratulate her for a job well done and for representing us well. We're proud of her. So we wanted to make sure that you all had all of that information there. And finally, but not least, we would like to thank Free Thought MC for being a part of today's show and coming on board and, you know, allowing us to enjoy his music and his commentary. We appreciate him and that and all that he's done. And for all of the callers, Frank, GE, Mario, Blind Fish, William, and everyone else who called and participated in the chat room, we thank you all for being a part of the show, even the people who had varying opinions there, and we appreciate you as well, because again, I just see it as practice for when I'll be dealing with people in real life, so you give me something to think about, so I appreciate you too. Anyway, on that note, we are going to take the show out with a song by Free Thought MC, and the name of this song is Listen to Your Heart, so please enjoy.
Oh no, this nigga did not. Thanks for that.
Okay. across town. A young girl walks to life to end. She just saw another pretty one hugging her boyfriend. Jealousy and rage begins to fill her heart. But if she uses logic, she would find it from the start that the other girl is not his mistress or getting extra loving. The fact is, this girl is his long lost girl's cousin. Reunited after a number of years, she was the only friend who had a shoulder for her tears. Ashamed for the way he talked and her mature act, but the boyfriend loved her two and two and broken heart reattached. That's the funny thing about love. It can either save or destroy you. Look within your mind, recognize what's false or true. Listen to your heart, you know what to do. That's the funny thing about love. It can either save or destroy you. Just had a baby, determined to see her again. He stays positive, so many close calls, but he's determined to live. One day he came under attack and taken prisoner. Day after day go on for how long nobody is sure. Days become months and months become years. Somehow he never gives up through the whole blood and tears. Finally he's rescued and sent back to his family. To his loved one and daughter of age 3. And that's the funny thing about love. It can either save or destroy you. Look within your mind, recognize what's false or true. Listen to your heart, you know what to do. That's the funny thing about love, it can either save or destroy you.